Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC, and joining me now is Allison Stewart. You may know her from NPR's TED Radio Hour or from MTV or MSNBC. She's now the author of First Class, The Legacy of Dunbar, America's First Black Public High School. In it, she tells the story of this once elite school in Washington, D.C., where they graduated generations of leading African-American intellectuals and academics, sending 80% of students to college in the 1950s. Yes, I said 80% of students to college in the 1950s, but that was then. Today, graduation rates are around 60%. Allison Stewart's parents were Dunbar students as well, and she joins us now to talk about the legacy of this school and its decline and possible redemption and implications beyond the one school. Welcome back to WNYC. So nice to see you here.
Thank you so much. This is so great to meet you. And I have to tell you, when I was writing this book, I used to listen to you almost every day because writing is such a solitary endeavor. You know, I'm used to being in newsrooms. So you are my lifeline to the outside world. And I know a lot of people who work at home feel that way.
So thank you. I took calls, Allison from Brooklyn, was that you?
No. Exactly.
So I cited that number, and thank you for the nice words. Dunbar sent 80% of students to college in the 1950s, a remarkable number, but even more impressive perhaps is when we consider who some of these graduates were. Can you give us some of the names?
Yeah, it's amazing. Out of this segregated high school came the first black graduate of the Naval Academy, the first black presidential cabinet member, the first black federal judge, Senator Ed Brooke, the first popularly elected black senator. Locally, Dr. Harold Freeman, who was the founder of the Ralph Lauren Cancer Center up in Harlem and invented the patient navigator system, which helps so many in poverty get through cancer. Also, the former president of the Bronx Community College, Dr. Roscoe Brown, who's one of the Tuskegee Airmen, one of the first men to shoot down a German jet. So as you can see,
I know him. He's amazing.
He's an amazing. Oh, what a great interview. I have to tell you, every person I interviewed, I just left feeling so inspired. And also just hundreds and hundreds of educators. Dunbar was really well known for developing an incredible black education force in Washington, D.C.
And there's a personal hook here. The school had such a reputation that your father's family actually moved from New York to D.C. so he could go there, and this was in the 1940s?
Yeah, you know, he grew up on 143rd Street, and my grandmother, Edna, though it's a certain vintage name, would say, no one said Joe Stewart in college in the same sentence. So she picked him up. My grandfather worked in the post office, which was a good job for a black person at the time. Picked up my father, moved him to Washington to go to Dunbar, and he was a little freaked out by it, frankly, because he went from an integrated school to a segregated school.
And I don't think we can emphasize that too much. I mean, it blew my mind when I saw this part of the story that the family picked up and moved your father as a child from integrated schools in New York City to a segregated school in Washington, D.C., because that was considered preferable.
It was a better school, quite frankly. And also there was this idea that the teaching force was incredibly invested in the kids in this school. Every Dunbar graduate I interviewed, and most of the ones who remember Dunbar, as they say, when Dunbar was Dunbar, or in their 80s and 90s, and they all repeated to me how invested the teachers were in their future and how invested they were in getting those kids to college. And many of those teachers would say, and the students knew this, that they knew they were creating the next great race leaders. They knew they were creating the people who were going to go out into the world, dismantle some of the segregation laws, break the glass ceilings. And that was a very big, important mission statement of the school.
But I gather that it also kept you up at night writing this book, because you don't want people to ever think that this is the story of success, the success of segregation on any level.
Oh, my husband and I used to have a cold sweat at night that someone would think that. And when we were, you know, I knew I was going to go out and do press, I was like, ask me the worst question you can about this. I would, you know, say, I have to really think this through, because I just can't use the word good and segregation in the same sentence. I think it is more about how determined the students were and the faculty were to educate these kids. I also think it shows a little bit of the failure of the early days of integration. I say it's more about, you know, because D.C. didn't integrate. It just legally desegregated.
Yeah.
Dunbar was always all black and has remained almost always all black.
So would it be more accurate to say that Dunbar was a neighborhood school and they had keys to success? Or was it in a way more like a charter school?
More like a charter magnet school. It's very odd to think in Washington, D.C., what we know of the population of Washington, D.C., that there were really only three or four places where kids could even go to high school. And one was a vocational school, one was a business school, and one was Dunbar, which was the academic high school, because you had to stay in. I mean, it would be very easy to fail out of Dunbar. It was a very, very rigorous, rigorous school.
So how do you reconcile the illustrious history of Dunbar with its decline that you also chronicle?
Yeah, that was a difficult part of the story. Initially, I thought I was going to write just the old history of it, but the modern part is so interesting as well. You know, Dunbar went from being a charter magnet school to being a public neighborhood school almost overnight. You know, D.C. desegregated in 3 months. If you read the Board of Education minutes from that summer of 54, you can feel the panic off the page. So all the problems of the neighborhood became the problem of the school, like our public schools today. So the sense that the problems of the 70s, financial in D.C., 80s, you had drug problems, 90s, you had violence. And then the 2000s, you know, you had the charter schools open up and empty out a lot of the human capital out of the schools. Dunbar suffered that way, and the alumni tried their very hardest. I will say there was always a corner of Dunbar that tried to maintain that spirit. Up until about 2000, really, really tried. They had a pre-engineering program, which was excellent. But that was also a magnet program. People could come from all over the city into that program.
You spoke to Valerie Jarrett.
Yes.
Senior advisor to President Obama, whose father went to Dunbar. He was Dr. James Bowman, an internationally renowned pathologist. And she told you about something she asked her father when the family was living in, of all places, Iran. Now, this isn't particularly about the school, but this is an incredible story.
It's a great story. So her father integrated the University of Chicago Medical Center School. And when he graduated, he discovered that he was making thousands and thousands of dollars less than his colleagues. So he picked up the family and he moved to Iran. He had an opportunity overseas. And they had been there about 4 or 5 years, and they were listening to American radio, and they were hearing about Little Rock and this. And Valerie Jarrett looked at her father and said, "Daddy, what's a Negro?" And he and his wife realized at that moment that his daughter was not having, her identity was not full, given their history and, of course, history of African Americans. So they picked her up, and moved back here. But one of the interesting things—
Moved back here because she wasn't facing enough racial discrimination?
She said that they wanted her to know who she was. They wanted her to understand African American history, which is one of the things that's interesting about Dunbar graduates and the children of Dunbar graduates. Your parents will tell you about it regularly, and all of the extraordinary graduates, so that you have a sense of African American history and the sense of all these African Americans who contributed to this country.
My guest is Allison Stewart, who you may know from NPR, from MTV, from MSNBC, now the author of First Class, The Legacy of Dunbar, America's First Black Public High School. Why do you say first black public high school?
Because you have to have all those words for it to be accurate, because it was the first public high school, public funds, taxpayer dollars used after the Civil War to open a high school. There weren't high schools. There were Quaker schools. There were some private schools in the north. But a public high school using taxpayer dollars, Dunbar was it. And they didn't have a building. They didn't have a building for 22 years. It started in the basement of a church with four students in 1870.
And you describe this terrible building in the book, one of these remnants of the brutal architecture of the 1970s, with these rooms that needed to be partitioned by teachers, and even so, classes would be disrupted by the sounds of other students in other rooms, though there's a new facility now.
Yeah, that was actually the second Dunbar. The first Dunbar was quite beautiful, the one that was erected in 1916. It looked like it could be on Harvard's campus or Princeton's campus. But it was torn down in the 70s, and this big thing that looks like a parking garage was put up. And it was that open classroom concept of the 70s. But, you know, noise follows. They thought good ideas would flow, but so do bad ideas. But the big exciting thing going on at Dunbar right now is a new $122 million version of the school was built, opened just last month.
What's your goal for people who read this book? Is it just for them to know the legacy of one very special school? Or does it have broader implications for public education, for racial equality in the United States?
The latter. I want people many things. One, I would really like people to know the kind of contributions that African Americans made to the United States, because we're sort of the same vintage. And what did you learn in black history? You're in slavery, 1954 and 1968, and that's what you know. And I think that's very important for Black Americans and white Americans to know. I think it's really interesting to look at Dunbar as a case study. When I was writing the book, it was when Michelle Rhee first, when I first sat down to actually write it after researching it for several years, they kept talking about all these things we have to do to fix the schools. And I thought, you know, you have a case study 10 blocks away about a school that was successful when there were legal and social obstacles that made it so it seemed like an impossibility that you could have this kind of school. So I thought, why isn't someone looking at Dunbar? I thought, well, I'll do it. And I thought that was very important.
And so are things changing that are either Michelle Rhee, which is like saying Michael Bloomberg in New York, that style of reform, those things changing to make the school and its students more successful? Other things? What would you say?
I think the big thing I took away from this, and I think they're trying to get back to, and this one school in D.C. and a couple others, is the idea of the human capital. A building is a building, and it's gorgeous and inspires and all that. But the idea of the students wanting to go to school, the teachers being completely invested, the not letting behind and forgetting the students who can't quite make it. When the first waves of the Great Migration came north, a lot of the teachers at Dunbar would spend extra time with those students because they had been underserved in their education. Human capital and caring about our teachers. My mom was a public high school teacher. I can't say it enough how important our teachers are.
I want to get in one call before we run out of time, because Tamara in Manhattan is the daughter of an alum, right, Tamara?
I am indeed, John A. Fish, class of 1940.
Excellent. Then you know. How many times did you hear about Dunbar, Tamara?
Oh, my God, you have no idea. And, you know, and the thinking at that time, we really have to do a little bit of a time warp. Thinking of that time was, what did it mean to be in the talented 10th? Booker T. Washington, and also to be, you know, a credit to your race. And so it was not just growing up that you did stupid things as a kid. It's how dare you somehow put a mark on your race? You've got to be exceptional. And that came through I remember my father telling me about being in a speech class at Dunbar where they went through all these drills, and he put us through the same drills. Now, we're Midwesterners. We have wonderful diction anyway. But that was the idea of molding a person and being part of a community and responsible to a community that was larger than yourself.
Is this sounding familiar, Allison?
This is sounding very, very familiar. And the other thing was, and I think Tamara will agree, that they were preparing the students to go out into an inhospitable world. And they were telling them, you have to be excellent. People aren't going to expect this of you. And we're talking about a time when they used to segregate black blood and white blood in blood banks. I mean, it's hard for us to put ourselves back there. But as I immerse
class
myself.
Class of 1940.
Exactly, exactly.
Tamara, thank you so much. And just before you go, you started a scholarship fund, I see, for students of Dunbar from the sales of this book. How does that work?
It's actually from my advance, because I wasn't sure if the book was ever going to sell anything. I didn't want to put it to that. So I took my advance and I established a scholarship with the United Negro College Fund, the first class scholarship, because who knows, maybe the next great scientist or teacher will come out of this nice, new, fancy $122 million building.
Allison Stewart's new book is called First Class, The Legacy of Dunbar, America's First Black Public High School. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.